motherfucking K, homeboy. A to the motherfucking K. A to the motherfucking K, homeboy. A to the motherfucking K.
Lord, would you look at me? Just as classy and sassy as ever. Now, what I'm going to do for the A to the K, it's a Wrestle Talk podcast. I'm going to go right now and I'm going to check it out.
There's your coffee.
Thanks for my coffee, sweetheart. And then I'm going to be honest and tell you if it's worth watching. Apparently, it's on Spotify. It's on YouTube. Wrestle Talk is what they offer. And hopefully, they put me over like hell, honey, because I know for a fact I'm the classiest thing ever. So go to A to the K and make sure those nasty things are putting me over like I deserve. Nothing but nasties.
Right, so are we happy to move on to segment three, which is our, I've called it Battle of the Bookings card because we're going head-to-head with this one. So this is our WrestleMania 37 fantasy booking. Do you want to go first? Or?
Yeah, can do. So bring it on.
Bring it on, Carl.
So I think we said, so we laid down the rules for this, so we were going to continue the two-night format. That work well this year, based off Triple H's comments saying that he thinks it might be the way forward. And we've kind of gone with a maximum of 18 matches spread across the two nights. So for my night one, I think it makes sense to kick off with the Andre the Giant Battle Royal. So it's a staple of WrestleMania now. I think the only reason it didn't kind of come to fruition this year was the kind of social distancing rules and so on and so forth. But I feel like if next year it kind of gets back to normal a little bit, then it makes sense to bring this back. Interesting one, mainly partly because I had Notting for him, but also because, you know, he is still a big guy and it could kind of, you know, push him on next year once he gets his whole line, I think, done with. I had it be won by Lashley. So obviously someone who's not
like it before.
And it could be kind of another little bit of a push for him. So that was my match one. Match two was something I'd spoken about briefly when we were talking about our dream matches. So it wasn't one of my top fives, but one that I've always wanted to see would be Alexa Bliss versus Liv Morgan. So for me, I just feel like these two kind of stylistically, the look kind of just kind of match up really well. I'm a big fan of like opponents that kind of have got similar kind of tail of the tapes and so on and so forth of, you know, kind of working together. And I feel like these two, you know, Lexi's fantastic on the mic and fantastic in the ring. Liv is kind of really growing and could really do with kind of the rub from a, you know, a bigger kind of more established star. So I feel like these two would be a fantastic kind of viewing.
Yeah, definitely.
Match three for night one, I had John Morrison versus The Miz. So I'd like to see kind of over this year, the kind of tag team start to slowly, slowly break down to have them finally turn and kind of face each other at the grandest stage of them all to kind of settle that dispute after they break up.
I like it.
And then match four, so Battle of the Big Boys. So for the US title, Samoa Joe being the champ, in a triple threat would take on Walter and Keith Lee, both who would be brought up to the main roster. So
nice.
Big burly brothers fighting it out for the US title, and I think this would be the chance to kind of give Keith Lee a you know, the US title, kind of give him his first kind of main roster belt to kind of push him on for his legacy going forward. Match five, so I had the Usos. You know, so you've mentioned just then previously around the injury kind of being out for 9 months. So I kind of see them coming back, you know, around kind of Rumble time as heels and winning the belts back. And then I'd quite like to see the team of Cedric and Ricochet carry on. So, you know, I don't know if you thought of a better name, as we discussed earlier on, but I've just called them New Dimension for now because they're kind of on a new level, you know, flippy shit and whatnot. And, you know, why not? So, yeah, the Usos versus New Dimension, with New Dimension picking up the win.
That's it. Yeah, I couldn't do any better than that. I honestly haven't thought of a name. I struggle to name them, I'll be honest. So I think you've done the best with what you've got, mate, because there's nothing about them that you can go, well, that we can lean into that and do that as a name.
Well, exactly.
That's why they've not got one.
I thought about team pew 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 pew, you know, to kind of go for the Ricochet thing, but it didn't really work. And then going back to the dream booking, so match six, Charlotte versus Lacey Evans. So I really want to see this match, you know.
No, you mentioned this, I think, last week, didn't you?
I just, again, it's another one of those that just like stylistically and like tailor the tape wise, like they're both kind of tall, leggy blondes who are quite technically gifted. You know, they've got like an interesting story angle there where former Marine versus like former, well, she's a Flair, you know what I mean? Stuff like
that. Former Flair.
So, yeah.
I think, because it's a similar reason people really wanted to see her go up against Rhea Ripley. And I think this works even better again. So I'm with you on that one.
Yeah, so for me, I'd like to see Charlotte go into this as the champ and then Lacey to win her first belt here at WrestleMania to kind of establish her. I think like she'll, you know, definitely be deserving of it by this point. She's kind of come on leaps and bounds, and I think this would be kind of a nice little passing of the torch almost from Charlotte. Nice. Match seven for me. I wanted to see Undertaker versus The Fiend. So for this one, you know, we've had Undertaker Bray Wyatt before, and Taker's already lost a few times at WrestleMania now, and based on the fact that these two both had some very interesting kind of, you know, different matches at this year's WrestleMania, you know, if Undertaker came back with his kind of dead man gimmick and The Fiend with being his like creepy little self, I feel like they could do some really kind of interesting, you know, funhouse slash boneyard weird kind of mix of a match. But it's also
the Bone House match
sponsored by what were they called
Ever Rise.
But yeah I think I don't know, you know, again, it'll be another kind of trophy to win back for Bray since he's lost to Taker before, another picture for his wall. I don't think Taker's got many more matches left in him, and you know, relatively speaking, Bray's still quite young as well, and the Fiend gimmick still just in its infancy. So this could be the one that finally kind of buries him and passes over the legacy of, you know, the mystique of the Undertaker.
I think it'd be great to sort of pass on like the Fiend as the future of that sort of gimmick, that sort of character. Plus, I think you're right. I think the story sort of writes itself because he's done a redemptive thing with John Cena. He's done that redemptive thing a few times with a few different wrestlers, and it works really well. It's like fixing all the mistakes Bray made, and The Undertaker would be another one. I think it'd be perfect.
Yeah. And again, it doesn't even have to be like a typical match. You know, they've already shown that they can do some interesting things, you know, outside the typical wrestling ring. So whether it was some sort of like crazy Mind of Bray versus, you know, Depths of Hell of Taker or something like that. Like, I don't know. I feel like it would be really good.
And to be honest, with the Hollywood theme, the production value would make a lot of sense as well.
Well, yeah, exactly. And then match eight. So the WWE Championship match. So this one will sound a bit weird, but bear with me. So I'd like to see Drew McIntyre take on Sheamus. And
okay.
that being said, I know Sheamus is kind of in like the lower cards, he's like fighting with Jeff Hardy and so on and so forth. But you know, you've got the whole Scottish versus Irish element. You've got, you know, the fact that these two have got such a history coming up together. You know, Sheamus can be a fantastic heel if kind of booked right. And you know, from a size perspective as well, Drew's a beast, and Sheamus is quite a big fella himself. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. I feel like from a booking standpoint, like I was really struggling where to place Drew on the card with all the other matches that I had lined up, and I felt like this would be, if done right, the build to it could be like really, really interesting. It's got like a lot of history there. They both kind of came up together and stuff as well, and they've never really kind of faced off with each other. They've kind of been a different kind of path, so I feel like it'll be something which could, you know, we could slowly build towards and would make a really decent Mania match with Drew obviously retaining. And then for the main event of night one, I have Roman Reigns versus John Cena.
Okay.
So to my knowledge as well, these guys haven't really faced off much, if at all. And this one would be kind of the passing of the torch.
It was, I don't know, I don't ever remember them in a match, but I remember John Cena giving him a shit about not having any mic skills.
Well, yeah, I remember that. So I saw some videos around that recently as well, and it made me chuckle. And I was just thinking, you know, John Cena's got to retire pretty soon. Roman, you know, still does have a few more years left in him.
Yeah.
So this would be the one, again, like another kind of passing the torch where, you know, Cena could finally let Roman go over, and maybe even be the one to turn Roman heel at this point, depending on how his kind of character goes. Because, you know, it's been something that Cena never did, and obviously they were kind of harping on at this year's WrestleMania is something that he obviously regrets, and he kind of didn't pull the trigger when he could have. So I wonder whether they've kind of learned from their mistakes and would maybe have Roman turn on Cena. Like, you know, maybe they go for like a handshake at the end and then Roman kind of turns on him and becomes the bad guy or something like that, to kind of set him off on a new path.
Yeah, I like it, yeah. I'm always a fan of Roman going heel. So,
so that for me would be my night one. Night two, so again, similar to the men's battle royal, we'd open up with the women's battle royal. And I feel like Bianca Belair would have to win this. So, you know, she's only just made her kind of main roster debut. They seem quite big on her. I don't feel like she's ever going to get anywhere near the title picture anytime soon. But I feel like they should still kind of build her strong and then have her win this battle royal as being kind of the, you know, prelude to her kind of rise then in the following years kind of title picture. And then for the tag titles, the New Day versus the AOP. So again, AOP are out injured at the moment. I feel like if those guys came back to take on Big E and Kofi, that could be quite an interesting one, with AOP potentially picking up the victory there.
I like it, yeah. I was big on AOP anyway. I wanted them to have a run with the titles on Raw instead of Murphy and Rollins. and it never happened, sadly. And then they went out on injury. So I'd love to see them in the tag scene. And we've said it earlier today, and I'll say it again, SmackDown at the minute has a stronger tag division. So
yeah. So yeah, I feel like that'd be quite an interesting dynamic. Match three. So again, strange one, but I've got Braun Strowman versus Elias. So I don't really remember these two squaring off that much. I remember them being almost like tag partners in that kind of Symphony of Destruction and stuff like that. They had a bit of like friendship, didn't they, coming about? And
I really
want to see Elias get a bit of a push. And, you know, he's never really had a notable feud against someone. And obviously with Braun being the champ at the minute, you know, I feel like that's probably come too soon for him as well. So I feel like after he's kind of relinquished the belt at whatever point he does so, I feel like it'd be worthwhile him kind of taking a slight step back out of the main event picture just to kind of continue to establish himself. But I'd like to see Elias get a bit of a rub here from beating a kind of a former champ.
Yeah.
And kind of cementing him then as a, not just a comedic kind of star, but, you know, someone who's quite legitimate. Match four, I had Jeff Hardy versus Velveteen Dream. So
controversial. You know,
yeah, so assuming he's still with the company and has not been fired. So, I don't know, Jeff's just come back. Jeff's obviously got his kind of, this little aura about him, this little mystique and so on and so forth. And I feel like Velveteen Dream would do a fantastic job of kind of psyching out Jeff Hardy, getting into his kind of his mindset and probably wearing the makeup and emulating him and doing stuff like that and so forth. Like, that could be quite an interesting dynamic. Match five is a match I really want to see, to be honest, if it can happen, is Edge versus Seth Rollins.
Right, I'm intrigued.
So, yeah, I mean, I feel like those two stylistically match up really, really well. It's obviously a match we've never seen before. You know, Edge has come back and he's only been able to face Randy Orton. So I feel like he'll have one or two others in his locker to face. But then, you know, Seth Rollins is quite a good kind of like-for-like match, really. And I don't know. I just want to see it.
That's fair enough, yeah.
Match six, so I had an 8-pack challenge for the Intercontinental title. So I had Ali versus Finn Balor versus Aleister Black, Daniel Bryan, Angel Garza, Andrade, Adam Cole, and AJ Styles. So this one for me is like the indie wrestling fanboy's dream. So it's like all you kind of ex-Ring of Honor or ex-Mexico, all these kind of guys who, you know, they just put on a fantastic match, whether it was a ladder match, whether it was something like that with some sort of stipulation or what, probably a ladder match was where it would go. I just feel like those guys would put on just a hell of a show together. And it'd be one where I feel like all of them are kind of building the way to, you know, IC title status. Obviously, AJ's a former champ. Daniel Bryan's a former champ. So those guys are in there to kind of add a bit of legitimacy to it. Finn Balor as well, to some extent. But I could potentially even see someone like Andrade or Adam Cole winning this one and getting their kind of first Intercontinental title.
I'd like to see Cole, you know, I must admit.
Yeah, me too. I feel like he's going to get called up at some point over this year. So
I hope so, to be honest. I think he's had a good run with the NXT, but I'd like to see him do.
Yeah. Match seven for me, for the Universal title. So Randy Orton as the champ. So he's never won the Universal title. So
I mean, I'd it's like only a couple of months old, so that makes sense.
Well, I'd like to put the belt on him and have him face Kevin Owens. I feel like this would be quite good from a mic standpoint and also from a quality of match standpoint. I feel like both of them, you know, they've definitely got some really decent kind of mic skills and really decent in-ring ability. So,
oh yeah, definitely.
And you know, I don't really recall them facing off previously either.
Certainly not to my mind. I can recall. Yeah.
I remember the other week on Raw, Kevin Owens came up to kind of defend Edge's honor, you know, prior to WrestleMania. Yeah. And that's
it led to shenanigans, and it never led to a match, sadly.
Yeah. So I don't know. I feel like it was at that point I thought this could be quite a decent little match if we ever got to see it. So I quite like to see that for the Universal title.
Nice.
Then the co-main event, if you want to call it that. So Ronda Rousey would be back. Obviously, it's Hollywood. She's well known, and to finally settle the score with Becky Lynch. So obviously Becky went over at the previous Mania in quite a controversial fashion. So I feel like this would be one where those two could finally have a one-on-one match, since Charlotte got inserted into it last time. It was the match that everyone wanted to see at the time, and you know, they've built it up kind of you know, around Ronda saying it's fake and blah 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 blah. I feel like that's all a little bit just to kind of, you know, piss off the internet community. So I could see her coming back and finally having this kind of match with Becky. I do think after the match, you're going to likely see some element of Shayna Baszler interfering, either to kind of turn on Ronda or to kind of get involved with Becky. But I feel like she'll be kind of instrumental into taking it forward. So if Ronda decides to fuck off, then there could be a Becky Shayna promo revisited, or it'd be interesting to see the two former MMA friends kind of go against each other.
Oh yeah, definitely.
And then for the main event of WrestleMania Hollywood, I've got Brock versus Rock 2.
Nice.
So Brock Lesnar versus The Rock. Obviously, we've seen The Rock come back in recent years against Cena. You know, he's always said he still doesn't, you know, he still thinks he might have one match left in him. He has faced Brock Lesnar once before in SummerSlam before he kind of left for Hollywood, with Brock picking up the win. So I feel like it'd be nice to see The Rock get his kind of win back against Brock, and kind of obviously make the Hollywood fans happy that The Rock has come in and taken the win. You know, Brock doesn't need the win at this stage. The Rock doesn't need the win at this stage. So it'd be a good little...
definitely.
It looks like a Mania match, you know, now that both of their careers have grown exponentially since they kind of last fought at SummerSlam years and years ago. So that would be like the big showcase kind of spectacle. And in terms of like a WrestleMania host, probably Hulk Hogan or something like that.
Hulk Hogan is like Hollywood Hulk Hogan.
Exactly. And then he can obviously just get involved with his little Hulkamania moments.
Or just wander around all confused because he's in a weird old man now.
All that too. So yeah, that for me, and you know, it was hard to kind of, you know, there's so many people on the roster, you know, you struggle to try and include everyone. Yeah. And
see, for me, I'm like a rule of thumb, anyone who I haven't mentioned is in the Royal Rumble. Well, is in the Battle Royal. That's it.
Well, that's it. I mean, I've had to kind of do the same. I tried to be as fair as I could and, you know, still try and call up a few people, but not kind of alienate people at the same time. But that's, you know, if I was booking it today, you know, and everyone was available with the storylines and stuff, that'd be the way I'd go.
Nice. Love it. Right. So, Carl, your competition, which might be a bit of an overstatement, I'll be honest, but I'll go through it anyway. So picture this, Carl. We have WrestleMania 37, Hollywood. Yeah.
Yeah.
The arena itself, you know, the ramp is done like a film reel all the way down. You know, the top of the ramp's got the clapperboard. You know, it's all leaning massively into the Hollywood theme. Looks brilliant. The Rock comes out, does his Rock thing, is hosting it. First thing I want to mention, I want the Rock hosting this like properly. I don't want him to like talk at the beginning and we never fucking see him again. I want him to say something before every fucking match. I want him to be full on Rock, right?
Yeah.
So as far as matches go, for night one for me, we're gonna have match one being the women's battle royal. I feel like these battle royals now should be used to push people coming up from NXT. So to my mind, and I didn't have one until we talked earlier, I think it should go to Candice LeRae. Coming up onto the main roster. So throw whoever I fucking forgot about in the actual Battle Royal itself. but as far as winners go, I think it's a push for an NXT star going into the main roster of Candice LeRae. And we move on to match two, which will be me cruiserweight bout. So this is all pre-show shit at the minute. So we have Mustafa Ali versus Drake Maverick. So this for me is coming off the hard luck story of Drake Maverick. So, you know, he's kept his job.
Yeah.
And he's now got a push as a star. Ali has been missing for some time, but was a hell of a cruiserweight when he was there. I think it'll be a good thing for the cruiserweight sort of, do we call him a division anymore? They kind of just got relegated to NXT in a sense, but yeah, and I'm thinking in this scenario for me that Drake would be holding the cruiserweight title, so Ali would be the challenger in that scenario. I don't particularly have a winner for this. I'm thinking mostly because of the current story, but obviously we're talking a year down the line. I'm thinking Maverick should take the win on it and retain, but I honestly wouldn't be too bothered if it was Ali either. I know this is my fantasy booking, so it can be anyone. Hulk Hogan wins it. Who fucking knows? But for me, if in my head, I had Drake Maverick retaining. Then we move on to the SmackDown tag team match, which will be the Forgotten Sons versus the Authors of Pain. At this point, the Forgotten Sons have took the titles from the New Day. They've had a strong run with the titles. And the Authors of Pain have not only made a return from injury, they've made a return to SmackDown. Mm-hmm. And they go on as the big hitters against the big hitters. So we see this bout with Authors of Pain taking the win. I'm just making sure that's what I said. with the Authors of Pain taking the win. And then that sort of cements them a little bit then. Now, we move on to match four, which is the US title bout. And this one for me, I've booked it as Angel Garza versus Andrade. Mm-hmm. And this is following a nice little betrayal from Garza. And again, in this scenario, because we've had a year to build it up, Garza's actually the one holding the title into this match. And Andrade is looking for a bit of redemption. Okay. And I'm going to have, because I'm, as you know, I'm big on Garza. I think he's a future talent, so I'm going to have him retain again. So I'm going to have another retention of the title. And typically, another Mexican holding the US title, because that's how we fucking roll. Right? match five is a triple threat women's tag title, which I need your help with this one, Carl, because it's at this point I realized how little they have in terms of tag teams. this is what I want. So I had Bliss and Cross, probably the title holders, because who's going to take them? There's no fucking around. I was originally thinking Natty and Beth Phoenix, but it seems a bit overdone. The Kabuki Warriors seem to be a done and dusted thing, you know. So apologies, because you never did this to me, but can you think of any decent women's tag teams that you'd put in this triple threat? Because right now I'm thinking Bliss and Cross, Kabuki Warriors, and purely because I haven't got too many tag teams here, Natty and Beth.
I mean, I don't know if you've got any plans for Sasha and Bayley.
Have I got any plans for Sasha and Bayley?
They could always bury the hatchet.
There we go. You know what? Yeah, Sasha and Bayley. I didn't really want them burying the hatchet so soon, but yeah, Sasha and Bayley rather than Natty and Beth then for me, because I haven't actually put them in the title scene, so there we go. Yeah, so that's what I've got then. Thanks for that, Carl. So the triple threat women's tag team title match of Bliss and Cross being the title holders, and we have Sasha and Bayley, and then we have the other ones I mentioned, the Kabuki Warriors. For that one for me, and I know I've clearly just put this together now, but for that one for me, I'd have Sasha and Bayley actually taking the win, because I feel like it'd be a nice little, what's the word? It'd give them a bit of credit where credit's due, because I think there was a bit of annoyance, like in real sense, that they didn't keep the titles as long as they should have. So I think it'd be nice for them to have a run with them again.
Mm-hmm.
So moving on to match six, Carl, we have the Raw Women's title bout, which will be Shayna Baszler versus Ronda Rousey. So this will be Shayna running roughshod over the division as she has been doing, holding the title and not giving fucks. And Ronda returning, coming back and going, you know what, I can take you. You know, bit of a UFC bout in a sense, you know what I mean? And this will see Shayna Baszler retain him. So just further adding to that, like, yep, she's unstoppable kind of bollocks, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Then we move into match seven, immediately into the SmackDown Women's title bout, which will be Lacey Evans versus Naomi. And the reason I wanted this, and there's no real proper build to this, it's just the fact that I think both of them are sort of... Lacey's clearly on the rise at the minute, so, you know, I don't want to be too unfair to her, but Naomi, I think, is an underutilized talent. That's she just seems to be on the cusp of having a good run, but then seems to get squashed or dropped in some way. So I'd like to see I'd like to see them two have a bout. I'd like to see her be in the title picture. And that being said, I'm realizing how retention heavy this is, so I'm going to apologize for that one. But I'd have Lacey taking the win on that one, and retaining the SmackDown Women's title. And then, Carl, the little quirk for my mania is champion versus champion matches. So my match 8 of the night will be the Raw Women's Champion versus the SmackDown Women's Champion, because I don't mind the separate rosters. I don't mind the segregation in that sense. But what bugs me is that they sort of, you know, they should never meet unless it's a Survivor Series or SummerSlam or whatever the one they meet on. So I wanted this, you know, big affair, Hollywood and all that. So champion versus champion. So this is to decide who is the best woman in WWE. So this match obviously would then result in Shayna versus Lacey. And to be honest, for the good guy winning kind of deal, I'd quite like, because Shayna's sort of beat Ronda and she's still, you know, that heel sort of champion, I'd like to see Lacey take the win just to sort of knock some of the wind out of her sails. So she's not lost the title, but she's lost some of the esteem, do you know what I mean?
Mm.
And that, I've only done 8 matches for night one. So we'll be moving on to night two, Cal. So first match for night two is pretty much as night one. We have the Battle Royal of the men's. In a similar fashion to what I mentioned, I think this would be a good opportunity to push in NXT talents. And I'm big on Keith Lee. So for me, this was Keith Lee going into the Battle Royal and coming out with the victor. And then, I don't know, let's send him to Raw. And the other one, I was trying to have some fun with this, but I don't know. I was thinking some sort of 24/7 title bout with an inexplicable Jerry Lawler taking the win. Because these things can happen with the 24/7 title. It's got to include R-Truth in some capacity as well, hasn't it? But just not necessarily a full-on, like, serious match, but a 24/7 shenanigans, as it were. This could even be something that they run with throughout the night, do you know what I mean? But not in the same way that they did the Gronk winning the title at the last minute and just fucking off for a party. You know, just some craziness where you see Jerry Lawler take it, you see various other people take it. And R-Truth seems to be the 24/7 champion that we all know and love. So ending with him at some point, somehow. Then my match 3 is the Raw Tag Team Champions, the Raw Tag Team Championship match, should I say, being the Viking Raiders versus Cedric Alexander and Ricochet. Yeah. And in this scenario, I actually want to see Cedric and Ricochet take the win. Now, this was, to my mind, the Viking Raiders have had a title run. They've got the titles. They're looking strong. And Cedric and Ricochet have been built up in this time, and I've just took the win now. On the biggest stage of them all, took the win and took the titles. Then my match 4, it will be the Intercontinental title bout. And this is Dolph Ziggler being the title holder against Drew Gulak, who has been, again, built up over the year and is now at a point where it can be like, yeah, he should win, and in fact does win. So this is Drew Gulak getting that title shot and title win that he deserves. Then my match 5, just because it sort of had to be in there, was for the Raw Men's title. And this is going to be Batista versus Drew McIntyre. I think Batista fits really well in the sense of his last return, sorry, the return before. He's not had some great returns anyway, but he's very Hollywood now. So I think it fits in with the theme. He's still got a love for the industry, and he'll probably still be young enough. And I think Drew and him could have a decent, don't get me wrong, Batista's not amazing in the ring, but I think they could have a decent bout, and they're both heavy, they, you know, they both look big guys, don't they? So I think that could be a good match between the two. And obviously logic would dictate Drew's not going to lose this one. And then moving on, we go on to match 6, which is the SmackDown Men's title bout, and this is Roman Reigns versus The Fiend. And then I'm going to have a bit of an upset of Roman taking the win. I feel like that's probably where it was going to go this year anyway, but you know, things happened. We ended up with Goldberg versus Braun somehow. But yeah, so Roman versus The Fiend, with Roman ultimately taking the win on that. Then moving on to match 7, we're going into our champion versus champion gimmick again of having the tag matches. So we now have the Authors of Pain versus Cedric and Ricochet. Or the New Dimension, did we call them? Sorry. That's what they're called now. So Authors of Pain versus the New Dimension. And I'm actually going to give it to the High Flyers. for that one. So that's how I'd do it. I thought it'd be a more interesting bout than the likes of like just putting them up against the Viking Raiders, which I'd sort of booked. I'm not big on the Viking Raiders yet, but they could be. Do you know what I mean? So I thought these four going ahead could actually work really well because they're obviously going to have to overcome the size of the Authors of Pain. So that's what I've gone with that. Then my match eight is the champion versus champion. I've wrote men's for some reason. I've already done the women's, so I don't know what that's about. We ended up with Drew versus Roman, and we have a good bout, and then Drew will retain because I think that's the logical way to do it. I don't think people will be ready for Roman beating Drew McIntyre. I really don't. but we then have, and this is something I probably should have highlighted earlier, but I wanted the surprise. We have a surprise run-in from Johnny Gargano, who happens to have been the Money in the Bank winner and decides to cash in. But who does he cash in on? There's two champions in the ring. They've both knocked seven shades out of each other. Who does he pick? So then ultimately, he's going to go for the upset and he pins Roman and takes the SD title. But then ends up squaring off with Drew McIntyre for a bit of a bout between them two as well. So while he is now the SmackDown champion, Roman's lost it after winning it. We then end up with Drew versus Gargano for a good bout as well. And then we close out the night with a bit of a sing-song with Elias and Hulk Hogan. that is my fantasy mania.
I like it.
Indeed. So that's just a quick run-through, I suppose. Were you looking at posting these, Carl, to on social medias and that sort of thing? Or?
Yeah, so I think the plan is I'll do the match graphics for them. Going to post it out on socials and get a little poll going on what people think.
Awesome. So that'll be good fun. And obviously, if these things take off, we might do some more fantasy bookings down the line. I think it's been an interesting, it's been a good thought exercise for us because you've got to sort of look forward to where storylines are now and where they're going, build ones out of nothing as well. So it's good fun. But yeah, that being said, that is A to the K for this week. So we hope you've enjoyed, and we'll see you all next week. And obviously, if you're liking what you're hearing, why don't you have a look at us on social media or like and share on YouTube or our various podcast formats. You can find us pretty much anywhere you find podcasts. Am I forgetting anywhere, Carl?
Anywhere and everywhere.
Anywhere and everywhere. We're there.
Yeah, under your bed, in your closet, wherever. We're there.
I like it. That thing in the corner of your eye.
That's us.
Right, guys, we'll see you all next week.
Take it easy.